The dress. Remember the dress, that blue and gold photo back in 2015, where people were vehemently decided that the dress was definitely blue and black or definitely white and gold. And there were all kinds of ugly arguments on social media. Families were divided and friendships were strained, and strange alliances grew as people were clearly in one camp or another, denigrating each other for seeing the dress in a different way. It was so obvious to everyone that it was a certain color. And then there was that really awful audio clip, which some people heard as Yanni and others heard as Laurel. And it's kind of the same thing, just using a different sense. One person's absolute truth versus another's. That's the kind of society we're living in these days. A culture of battling, warring truths. Except we're not just arguing about a dress color or a word sound. We're arguing about almost everything. Politics, religion, science, education, economics, and race. We argue about contentious topics, as well as things that didn't even used to be controversial, like scientific facts. Arguments proving others wrong, spreading disinformation or alternative facts, trying to assert one truth over another seems to be our society's default these days. And of course, social media plays a large role in propagating this tendency. It's taken small disagreements between a few people and blown them up into polarizing issues for vast groups of people. And when the president and extremists stoke these fears and sow fear and alternative facts and discord, polarization increases. And this is why we're so divided. Our minds are continually on anxiety's edge, desperately searching for calm and civility, trying to discern the truth amidst the clamor. Our minds are being bombarded by opposing worldviews. And if we're not careful, the loudest, strongest, most financed voice wins. And it's actually really funny because as I'm speaking, I don't know if you can hear it, but there's some crows screeching right outside my window, trying to be as loud as they possibly can, fighting with each other. A psychological experiment in the 1950s proved that even when an answer seemed obvious and the truth seemed clear, people would change their minds to agree with their peers and doubt themselves. And we're now seeing peer pressure and gaslighting and manipulation on a massive scale. The opposite of truth, the word fake, has become hugely popularized, but even fake has lost its truth. It's lost all its meaning because it's being used to describe anything that people don't agree with. Our difficulty in discerning truth has been compounded by technology. As humans, we've been seduced by the speed, the efficiency, the connectivity, and availability of social media. But while it's initially brought us together and gave us lots of good information, now it's actually eroding our sense of truth and connection. After many people asked me if I'd seen it, I finally watched the Netflix film, The Social Dilemma, the other night, and wow. It helped me understand why our sense of truth is eroding and how fast disinformation spreads. Our society is basically being programmed by Silicon Valley and computer algorithms run amok. A recent MIT study showed that fake news on Twitter spreads 6 times faster than real news. And disinformation has become a huge for-profit industry. Putting profits before people means this persuasive technology is bending society for the worse. With no regulations or requirements to propagate truth, it leaves people with little idea of what we can actually trust anymore. And it's becoming a matter of life and death. people have been killed as a result of fake stories and conspiracy theories on social media, and it's only getting worse. Reactionary extremism and violence are gaining traction over democracy and truth. So we have to do something. Otherwise, how do we know who we are, what we believe, and whom, and what we can trust? Many of the techies who designed this technology are now looking at it with horror. They warn it's eroding our shared understanding of reality, not to mention our democracy. Google doesn't know what truth is, they caution. Former Google employee and founder of the Center for Humane Technology, Tristan Harris, says, if we don't agree on what's true, or that there is such a thing as truth, we're toast. If we can't even agree on what's true, then we can't navigate any of our problems. Technology has an ability to bring out the worst in society, and the worst in society is the existential threat, he says. He warns us that unregulated technology is generating mass chaos, outrage, instability, and isolation. It's leading to a lack of trust in each other, to loneliness, to greater polarization, and an inability to focus on real issues. And he cautions that unchecked, we're devolving into bedlam as artificial intelligence and algorithms get smarter with no regulation. This attention extraction model means that humans are being treated as an extractable resource, not unlike coal or oil. Short-term corporate focus on profits at all costs is leading to the dismantling of civil society. My friends, think back to our story that Sam told earlier. Each of the princes in our tale were convinced that they had experienced the only true reality. One had seen the red bud tree as desolate, another as hilarious, one as nothing special, and another as magnificent and glorious. And each one of them believed their version of reality. They thought they knew the absolute truth about this tree, ignorant that it was filtered by the impact of the seasons. Isn't that sort of what we do? We create our perception of reality through the filters with which we experience life. We walk around with lenses tinted by our culture, our society, our upbringing, our conditioning, our senses, and our minds. And there are as many different perceptions of reality as there are creatures on this earth. And then fear and desire further distort these perceptions. We don't like to see things that challenge our beliefs. We look for what we already believe. And that's just human nature, to allow confirmation bias to shape our worldview. So we really don't have objectivity on the truth. We can't. We don't see what we don't want to see about ourselves or others. Our defense mechanisms keep us from seeing the truth. We're hardwired for distortion. Now, truth has always been a rather elusive word, hasn't it? Is there actually such a thing as the truth? Can we really know it? With so many competing perceptions of reality, what is the truth? And if it exists at all, how do we discern it? Now, over the millennia, religions, governments, science, and philosophies have delivered what they claim are absolute truths. Yet many of these truths are temporary, or they're tools used for controlling and ordering society. Our greatest spiritual teachers and prophets, from Jesus to Muhammad to the Buddha, did not insist on dominating people with their beliefs. They were basically wandering philosophers and sages sharing what they'd learned without an attachment to others believing them. It was their disciples, other people who interpreted what they said, and then they wrote down the prophet's messages in their own words and canonized their teachings, only to become zealots by insisting that this was the only way. And in doing so, these leaders and the institutions they formed controlled their communities and people. Though these teachings gave people a map for how to lead their lives, and in many cases, a moral code, we've also sadly seen multiple abuses and distortions of those teachings and truths, and a constant reinterpretation of the original teacher's ideas. In Unitarian Universalism, we have a saying, revelation is not sealed. We believe that there is no ultimate or absolute truth. We're not going to claim to have the answers or give them to you. We think humanity's understanding of truth is always changing and evolving. And as we grow and evolve, our understanding of truth transforms. Ultimately, truth seems to be relative, ephemeral, and changing with time and circumstance. So as Unitarian Universalists, we're invited to keep growing our understanding and question everything. We shouldn't rush to truth. We have a history of challenging society's truths and working to find answers that are not always simple and convenient. In fact, our faith encourages us to seek and discern our own truths and to linger in that discernment process together. We sit in the question, not the answer. So I invite us at this time not to be seduced by the cacophony surrounding us and facing us online. As long as we seek truth outside ourselves, we're not going to find it. As you know, there are a million distractions and opportunities to be drawn away from our center, but we will not find the truth out there. Come back to yourself. Come back to your inner source of wisdom and knowing. Listen to your body's messages and the still small voice within, and you will know what's true and good, what your next right step should be, what helps you live into your values. One way I discern the truth is that it usually makes me feel more open, clear, loving, and peaceful. And it aligns with my values, which is a contrast to the noise outside. The world out there with its loud distractions and distortions will always try and tempt you with its easy answers, its next theory or argument, or its next drama to hijack your attention. It will always try to woo you away from your internal knowing. So my friends, I invite you to be with yourself in meditation or silence every day. Try for at least 5 minutes a day and listen deeply within. We will also sit together in this place of silence. And I invite you to attend our spiritual sustenance group for that. But come home to yourself, so that you may find your center amidst the noise, the deep well within you, the truth for you beneath it all. That is how we can make it through the next few weeks with some semblance of calm and resilience. My friends, our world is the product of the choices we have made as humanity, of the truths we have idolized. Since we, as people, made those choices, we can also change them. But to know how to change them, we must turn our focus inward now to discern from our well of wisdom how we make the world better, how we heal these divides, this profound sense of separation, how we might actually come together to work for the greater good of the whole, how we might join around our shared values of compassion, justice, and equity, and how we live a life true to the values of love, freedom, and transformation. I close with the words of Lao Tzu from the 5th century before the Common Era. Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power. My friends, the answer is not outside of us. The answers lie within. And as you use, I encourage us to live from there and share the wisdom and truths we find with one another and the world. May it be so. Amen.